Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and I want you to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8. Always appreciate the opportunity of my wife to be able to travel with me. We've done this for about 36 years, and we thank the Lord for the times that we've had in so many different parts of the world. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, very familiar passage, and I'm going to read beginning in verse number 1, pray, and then we'll get started for our Sunday school lesson. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, and ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Our Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful privilege to be here at New Heights Baptist Church. We thank you for Pastor Reyes, and thank you so much, Lord, for leading him and his family here for this church. Thank you for what they're doing here in this area and around the world. Thank you for a church that has a heart for missions, to be able to have a missions conference, to make the sacrifice, to be able to get behind missionaries to go around the world. And I pray you'll bless our time together here today. I pray you'll bless the teaching of the Word of God. Use me in a special way. Take me as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your Spirit. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. As I said earlier, this week is and should be for every local New Testament church to be the most important week. Because you're going to make some decisions. We're starting here on a Sunday morning to have what we call a missions conference. And a missions conference is a time that you want to do several things. First of all, the most important thing in the missions conference is for God to speak to hearts. So I want to bring in this week a heart that the God, as your theme says, thou art God. Think about that for a moment. Thou art God. That means He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's eternal. I mean, he's everything to us. If he is everything to us, and I really consider him to be God, then I want to bring in this week a heart that God can see and challenge to be involved in that which God is involved in, and that is reaching the world. So the most important thing this week is to be able to bring a heart that God can speak to. If God speaks to my heart and I understand what I'm involved in, then I understand I need to not only give my heart or myself to the Lord, but I've got to give my support to the cause in which God is involved in. And then if I do that, if I really give my heart, if I pour myself out to God, and I'm going to give my support to support God's program, then I can't do it without giving my substance. My time, my talent, my treasure all belong to God. And I want God to take what he has given me and use it for his purpose and reaching the world. Now, I make no bones about it. Missions is spiritual business. Carnal people or selfish people don't last very long when it talks about missions. I mean, I can do things because I'm emotionally stirred for a few moments. I can do things to impress my pastor. But if I'm talking about God, I've got to do things to impress God. So the most important thing is, what does God see? And so if I do all of that, then I've got to give my substance. I've got to get the missionaries on the field. God's given me a job. God's given me health. And he wants me to use that for his purpose. Now, I've been in mission conferences where small groups and where there have been thousands and all sizes in between. And I've seen God do some great things when people give their heart, then they will give their support, and they have no problem giving their substance. So I want to talk a little bit about something you're probably familiar with here from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, talking about this matter of faith promise or grace giving. Normally this is done on the last Sunday when I do it, so we're going to talk about this at the beginning. And then once we understand that the plan of God, the biblical plan of God for financing the program of God and reaching the world, is what we call faith promise or grace giving, that's found here in chapters 8, 9, and 10. If you know a little bit of the background, we don't have a lot of time, but the Church of Corinth had made a commitment to help on a special offering for the Church of Jerusalem. 1 year later, after they made the promise, when they made that promise, Paul went as a church planter, starting churches in the churches of Macedonia. He told them what the Church of Corinth was going to do. They got excited. They were not rich churches, but they got excited and got involved, gave themselves, gave them substance. 1 year after that, the Church of Corinth, who made the promise that provoked others to get involved, hadn't done a thing. When you've been in missions conferences as long as I have, you'll find that people make promises and don't always do what they promise. But in this case, this is what Corinth did. Paul now writes back a letter to the Church of Corinth, a church that he loved, spent 18 months establishing this church, to challenge them to do what they had promised to do based upon what the churches of Macedonia were doing. And in this letter, he covers four things that I want to cover very quickly here. He gives them an example, first of all. In verses 1 through 5, he talks about the example of faith, promise, and grace giving. Now, let me mention a few things about giving that you probably know. There are basically three principles of giving. One is called the tithe. The tithe is the Lord. Nobody spends God's tithe. We give it one way or the other. And by the way, we don't have to be spiritual to tithe. Tithe is a commandment in the Bible. Someone asked, and they showed up at church one time, where's Charlie? Well, Charlie's not here Sunday. He's in the hospital. God's taking his tithe. And so God's going to get his tithe one way or the other, okay? Because if I tithe every Sunday, that would not make me spiritual. It would make me obedient. All right, so tithing is a command. The second principle of giving is what we call an offering. An offering is something I give above my tithe. I've learned to give an offering. I pay my tithe. I grow in my Christian life. I give offerings and all kinds of building funds and different things. And tithes and offerings are what I use to be able to take care of the ministry of the church. The third principle of giving is what we call giving by faith or grace giving. The difference between the tithes and offerings are used for the ministry. Faith promise or grace giving or missions giving is used solely for the purpose of winning the lost to Jesus Christ, planting churches around the world. So 2 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, and 10 is not talking about tithing. The giving here is learning to give by grace, by faith, for the sole purpose of getting the gospel around the world, winning people to Christ, and developing local New Testament churches, and that's what we're going to talk about. So here when Paul writes back to the Church of Corinth, he's not talking about those people about tithing and offering. He's talking about a special offering for others, and we've developed what we call grace giving. So he writes, first of all, he talks about an example. He says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." First thing we see here is the preparation for those poor churches to give. The Bible says God bestowed grace upon them. In other words, grace is the ability to do what God wants done regardless of my circumstances. Now, last time I read my Bible, it says God's grace is sufficient. He bestows grace. So at the New Heights Baptist Church, you may look at your circumstances and say, I don't have a great job. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of resources. But you have a God that you say, thou art God, who says, my grace is sufficient. And if you read through several passages here, verse number 3, it talks about the fact that they were willing of themselves, and God gives grace. So God has enough grace to bestow upon every individual to get involved in giving to get the gospel around the world. All right, so he says grace. So it was a they were prepared. The grace of God was bestowed upon them. Then it says, look how precious that sacrifice was, that gift was. It says in verse number 2, how that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. These churches had two problems, great affliction and deep poverty. In spite of those two problems, they still gave. Now, no matter how poor we think we are, we don't compare to the churches of Macedonia. Poor to us is that instead of having a television in every room, I only have one in the living room or one in the family room. We have no idea when we look at the rest of the world what poverty is all about. These people were poor, but God did something in their life that moved them and motivated them to be able to get involved. I believe, and when it comes to a missions conference, God's not looking at who's giving the most. God's looking at everybody being involved. Everybody can do something. When you decide at the end of this conference that you're going to give above your tithe, above your offering for world evangelization, you say, you know, my situation is not great. God, give me more grace. So he bestowed grace upon them, and they got involved in spite of deep poverty and great affliction. Verse number 3, it talks about how they gave. For to their power, the word power means ability. I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. All right, they were prepared by the grace of God. It was such a precious sacrifice because of deep poverty and great affliction, but the Bible says they gave two ways, to their ability. In other words, they looked at what they had and said, I can give something. It may have caused them to sacrifice, and it did, but they did. They gave sacrificially. But they were so burdened about the need until the Bible says they gave beyond their power. Now, that's where faith comes in. I give the largest gift I give, more than mortgage or anything I do financially, is for world evangelization. But even in spite of doing that for all 40 years of my life, I still don't believe that I give by faith. I do sacrifice because I increase my giving twice a year, every January and every May, each conference we do that. And eventually, if you're not making more money, you're going to have to sacrifice, but souls are worth that much. But I still can't say I give by faith. I don't believe that anybody can ever give by faith if they haven't learned to give sacrificially. If I can't give of what I have, it's a waste of time for me to get and pray and ask God to give me faith to give beyond what I have. These people were poor, deep affliction, but sacrificed and gave. And they said, God, you've done such a work on my heart, I want to give more. So I want to give by faith. In other words, they were saying, God, if you provide that which I don't have, I will give even more. Wherever you are today when it comes to missions, if you're not willing to sacrifice for others and get the gospel around the world, then we can't give beyond our ability. But they gave to their power, to their ability, and beyond their power, they gave for world evangelization. Verse number 5 is the key. What made people who didn't have a lot sacrifice, trust God to give? And I'm not talking about tithing. The tithe is the same. 10% of all mine increase belongs to the Lord. God doesn't say how much I'm to give as an offering. That's based upon how much I love God and how much I'm willing to sacrifice. But when it comes to missions, that I need to sacrifice beyond that. And then if my heart is moved and motivated, ask God to help me to give by faith. I can't figure out where it's coming from, but I'm going to trust God. This is the way they gave. But what made that happen? Verse number 5, it says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." They gave because they first gave themselves. What God wants more than anything else from every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, and New Heights Baptist Church and Crossroads Baptist Church and every church in the world, He wants the heart. When God gets the heart, people have no problem sacrificing. They have no problem giving. They have no problem going. What He got from the churches of Macedonia is what He needs from churches today. He wants the heart. God wants to be first place. When God has the heart, then God has everything else. I remember I got saved in 1976. I was a businessman, and I owned a business in the area, and I got saved, and I walked into a local church, and so, man, what the joy. And my whole goal in life was, man, make money, give it to the church. I want my church to have every bus they want to buy, and I want to be the guy to make all of this money. And I started giving and sacrificially giving, and I found out that I was giving more than anybody in the church, and all that was all one of them. But God was still tugging. He's saying, you can give all the money you want, but I want you. And I remember 1978, July 16, 1978, in spite of giving financially. You imagine my thinking was, why would I want to go into ministry when I can make all this money and help all the other people who are already in the ministry? And this is my logic. God's tugging at the heart, tugging at the heart, tugging at the heart. And I learned that no matter how much you give of substance, until you first give God your heart, God's not satisfied. And I remember surrendering to preach, and then that didn't change my desire to do those things and give those things, but it also tested whether I was willing to give up those things and trust God. And by the way, I can say today that when I surrendered and gave God my heart, I was willing to give God my business, give God my house, give God my car, give God my family, give God everything, and gave all of those things to God. And today, after all of these years of being in the ministry, I still have more today with less of my own resources to do it than when I gave it all to God. He wants your heart. He wants, wherever you are in life, God says, I want you to have a heart for what I have a heart for. I love the world so much, I gave my only begotten Son. And He says, and by the way, I don't care where you are financially, or where you are educationally, wherever you are, it doesn't impress God. God's not impressed with what we attain in life. God's impressed with the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. You see, the reason Paul wrote that letter as an example to the church of Corinth was a much more well-off church than the churches of Macedonia. I believe the Holy Spirit inspired the word to look all the way to 2016 and tell us today, nobody is beyond the ability, wherever they are in life, to be able to sacrifice and get involved in my program of world evangelization. What a great example. We're not too poor. We're not too afflicted. All God wants is the heart. And when He gets the heart, He will have my time, my talent, and my treasure. And it's up to Him to provide through me what He wants to get His job done. All right, so He gives them an example. And in the next three verses, He gives them a threefold exhortation. He's saying, okay, here's the example. It takes preparation, the grace of God will do that. He says, I want you to give to your ability, first of all. If you give through your ability, what you can do, that takes sacrifice. I'll burn in your heart that if you want to go beyond that, it takes faith, and I'll provide through you what you have a heart to do. But I first want to get your heart, and when you do that, then Paul says, now that you've seen the example, keep in mind, Paul was the greatest church planting missionary in the Bible. Outside of Jesus Christ, Paul, to me, is what the greatest Christian in the Bible. And he says, okay, here's an example, Church of Corinth. Here's an example, New Heights. Here's an example, Crossroads Baptist Church. Now take it from a man who was educated, a man that had been saved by the grace of God, and I'm going to exhort you to follow these examples. He says, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to send Titus down, verse 6, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. The grace he's talking about is the grace of giving sacrificially for the cause of others. So he's saying to us today, the grace that you see in the churches of Macedonia, I'm exhorting you to do this. I'm going to send Titus down to teach you how important this is. Then verse 7, therefore, when you see that, therefore, see what is therefore. Therefore, now that you've got this example and understand this, let me exhort you to do three things. He says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, notice this, see that ye abound in this grace also. Church, in the church of Corinth, in the first book he wrote, Paul wrote back to them and said, this church, where all kinds of people got saved, came behind in no gift. This church was a church that you could walk in, and he said this, and the testimony of Jesus Christ is confirmed in this place. So he's talking about a church that was abounding in all kinds of gifts and talents. He says, as you abound in all of these things, let me teach you and exhort you to abound in the grace of giving. The greatest thing, we have church, I preach in churches with huge buildings, huge congregations, great programs, all kinds of things. But the most exciting church you'll ever walk in is a church that's abounding in the grace of giving to missions. There's something different about a mission-hearted church. I'm not talking about a mission-minded church. I'm talking about a mission-hearted church where God has led people to the point they're willing to sacrifice to get the gospel around the world. So he's saying to you, abound in this grace of giving. Be known as a church that has a heart for giving for world evangelization. So he says, I want you to abound in this grace also. Then he says in verse number 8, now listen very carefully. He said, missions is important. Corinth, giving to this gift is important. And I want you to abound in it. He says, but I speak not by commandment. He's saying, if you abound in giving to mission, I want you to have an attitude of willingness. Now think about the God that we're talking about. God says, I'm not interested in getting people to give because they're pressured, to give because they're emotional. You don't have to give to missions in your local church and you won't be sinful. Sorry, brother. I hope you don't have people to give in because you have pressured them. But you don't have to give them. Now, you have to pay your tithe. If you don't tithe, God's going to call you a robber. Nobody has a right to spend God's tithe. God doesn't tell you how to give to offerings. You may be a very token giver to offering. You may say, I'm going to pay my tithes, and then I'm going to be as stingy as I can, and I'm going to put a $1 offering. That's how much I'm going to give to offering. At least I'll be scriptural. So if you give if you're 11% giver, you go the rest of your life, and you're not committing any sin. You don't have to give a dime to mission. I speak not by commandment. I want this to be done willingly. The church of Macedonia, in verse number 3, did it willingly. Verse number 12, they did it willingly. They had a willing mind. God says, I want you to do this, but I can't, Paul said, I can't command you to do it. I'm exhorting you to do it. I'm telling you to abound in it, but I can't command you to do it. So if you don't give a dime, don't fill out a faith promise card, don't put a dime in the offering plate for missions, you won't be sinful. He said, I want it to be you to abound in it, making an attitude of willingness, but I want it to be an action of worship. And here's what he says. If you don't give, you're not sinful, but if you don't give, you prove something. He says, you prove the sincerity of your love. I don't know about you, but that's, if I don't give to missions, I'm proving I don't love God. When I do give to missions, how sacrificial I give to missions, how much I give to missions, I'm proving that I love God. That's important to God. God says, I don't want to force you to do that. I want you to do that because you love me. And we sing about how much we love God, and we talk about how much we love God. Well, God says, prove it by loving what I love. And you notice verse number 9 is a passionate verse he puts in there. He talks about how passionate. This verse is not just haphazardly thrown in there. He says, for ye know, keep in mind, after he just said, I speak not by commandment, prove the sincerity of your love. He said, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Ye through his poverty might be rich. God says, here's how I prove I loved you. I took my son, who was rich in everything. He became poor. You, who was absolutely nothing, through him could be rich. And he puts that right in the middle of talking about giving for the cause of other people. So Paul says, I've given you an example. There's no way you can read this example and have an excuse not to participate in giving to mission. As a missionary, a man of God, I exhort you to do this. I'm going to even send Titus to help you. You have a missions conference. You have a pastor that teaches faith promise. You have a speaker that comes in and teaches faith promise. All of that has helped you to understand that. But even after we teach all of that, we can't force you to do it. It's an action of the heart. And by the way, if you haven't learned right now, giving is a part of worship. I've never in 40 years of being a Christian, 35 years of pastoring, I've never found anybody who truly loved God who had a problem giving. Now, I've seen some people who give out of their resources and don't love God, but I never found anybody who loves God and doesn't give. It's a part of worship. All right, so he gives an example. And then secondly, there's an exhortation. And then thirdly, in verse number 10, he says, and herein I give my advice, for it is expedient for you. Okay, I gave you an example. I exhorted you to do it. I told you you're not commanded. But take the advice of a missionary, church planner, a man that walked with God, and I'm going to tell you, if you do it, it's expedient. It's profitable. We're saying it's profitable for you to do it. It's profitable for any local New Testament church to have a good missions program. So why is that? Because, and I'm going to preach on that tonight, the mission of the church, it's profitable for New Testament Baptist Church to have a good, strong missions program where every member is involved, getting as many missionaries as you can to the field. It's profitable for you because you'll find out scripturally that the Great Commission was not given to a Bible college, a mission board, or an individual. It was given to the church. So every time we have a good missions program, we get more people involved in giving themselves their support and their substance. It's helping the church to carry out the Great Commission that was given to the local church. And that's why when missionaries come in, and we say, man, that's profitable. It's profitable to the church. The church has been commanded to take the gospel around the world. So Paul says, it's expedient. Okay, you're not losing. You're benefiting from it. It's expedient for the church. When people learn to give, when people learn to pay their tithes and give their offerings, and then with a heart give to get the gospel around the world, it helps that church. It develops an unselfish attitude for that local church. When you have a church that only thinks about its numbers, its buildings, how big a choir they can have, how big a bus ministry they can have, and all is about themselves, then you have a very selfish church. As a matter of fact, there was a church in the Bible like that called the Church of Jerusalem. The Great Commission was given to that church to go around and evangelize the world, and for 8 years they did absolutely nothing. So what did God do? He sent persecution, scattered them, persecution, and developed. You read about the Church of Jerusalem in those times when Acts 1:8, when the Great Commission was given to that church and they didn't carry the Great Commission out, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the othermost part of the earth. They stayed right around Jerusalem. Persecution came in, and if you study those years, you'll find out that they had hypocrites in the church. Murmuring was going on in the church because they had taken their eyes off the world and started looking around at each other. And when you get involved in missions, it helps the local church to be an unselfish church. But it's also expedient for the Christian. When I give the faith promise, I'm laying up treasures in heaven. I'm a part of what God has a heart for. And I tell you, I don't know how much of the benefits we're going to gain for giving to that which is dear to the heart. I mean, you go from the Old Testament all the way through the Bible, God has always had a heart for people. All those little handfuls of purposes, all the world's always been included in God's plan. And the church has a responsibility. So he says, here's an example. Make sure if you want to really understand it, the power to do it is to give your heart. Be willing to sacrifice. Be willing to pray and ask God to give you faith. God, if you do more, give me a better job. You give through me, I'll give to your cause. Don't look at your circumstances, because circumstances today may not be as good as you'd like them to be. Give me a little bit more grace to do it anyway. And then follow the exhortation. Abound in it. Don't be just giving to get by. You know, learn principles like we've learned over the years. You know, twice a year, we increase our faith promise. And we don't always, for us, I don't know what other people, we haven't today yet started earning as much money as we earned before we got into ministry, but we have more. We have more today. Two sons in the ministry, a daughter that's working in the ministry, grandchildren that love the church, all of those things God give the people that involve. And he also give monetary things. So not only do we have all the things, a wife who's a 3-time breast cancer survivor over the last 26 years, all of those things God will do. And none of us is perfect. We all have all kinds of things. As a church, to tell you all the things that we've gone through in the church, the one thing that you look back and you say, how did that happen? Not because you had a great pastor or we lived more godly than anybody else, but we have been consistent over the years of being an unselfish church, realizing that if we couldn't get the building built, we couldn't get all of these other things, we're going to get the gospel around the world. And God honors that. And by the way, I don't have time to go into all of that, but I can tell you, when you're consistent in missions, when you need a big one that you can't handle, thou art God. There's a God. And in several cases in our ministry, we have the largest church building on the smallest site that's ever been in the history of our county. And if I told you the story of how God did that, it'd blow your ear. Largest child care center on the smallest site in the history of our county. I've seen God turn the hearts. And you look back, I haven't always been consistent. We haven't always had people who have been the greatest and the most holy. But one thing, from day one, we've always consistently been involved in getting the gospel out. We never think about not having a missions program, not giving to world evangelization, not sacrificing to get the gospel. And God honors that. Follow the example. Take the exhortation. Abound in it. It's expedient. It's profitable. And then the last thing he said in verse number 11, he said, now therefore, perform the doing of it. Somewhere during this week, if you get the example, you follow the exhortation, you realize how expedient it's going to be for you, you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to fill out a faith promise card, and it may require you to sacrifice. It may require you to ask God for a little bit more grace. It may require you to say, Lord, I don't see where it's coming from, but give me the faith to trust you. And you make a commitment, and once you make that commitment for the next year, perform the doing of it. Do what you commit to God, because you're not forced to do it. No one makes you do it. No one keeps track of whether you do it or not. I'm sure this church, like all of us, we fill out faith promise, no names on it, nobody knows, but you and God. But when you make a commitment to the Lord, do it. Perform the doing of it. Say, I followed the example, took the exhortation, realized how expedient or profitable it is for me and for my church. And then, as a child of God and a member of the local church, I'm going to execute. I'm going to perform the doing of it. I will give of myself, give my support, and give my substance to get the gospel around the world. I'm going to do that because that's God's plan. That's God's program. Faith promise is scriptural. It's simple, systematic, and it's been proven to be successful all around the world. Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege we have to be involved in your program. We have seen you work in churches of all sizes all around the world. Over 7 point some billion people around the world. Churches have no idea what it'd be like to have a church like New Heights Baptist Church. And I pray that you'll stir the heart of the people here this week like never before. And I do pray that they'll get involved in God's biblical plan of grace giving, faith promise, to give of themselves first to the Lord and then of their substance to get the gospel done. We'll thank you for what you do this week. In Christ's name we pray.